Hello and welcome. I'm Greg Martinelli, and this is the Ag Sales Professional Podcast. And the purpose of this podcast is to make you the best salesperson or sales manager possible in agribusiness. Hey, in today's podcast and webcast, I had the great opportunity to interview Fred Miller. Now, Fred wrote a book on public speaking, and he's a local St. Louis coach on public speaking. Now, well, you may have seen the title of this blog or podcast or whatever it is that you're watching or listening or reading to. And you may have shied away saying, hey, Greg, I don't want to be a speaker. I won't be a speaker. And worse, maybe I can't be a speaker. Now, if you're saying those to yourself, I want you to keep listening, keep reading, keep watching, because here's the deal. As salespeople, this is an extremely important skill. Here's why it's so important. First of all, you may be out there trying to build trust with your customers and with your prospects. Or maybe you're an advanced salesperson and you're later in your career and you want to go from being a regular salesperson to being what I call the trusted advisor. Now, I've used the word trust a lot in here, and here's how this ties back to today's interview. First of all, when we put somebody up on stage, when a meeting planner puts them up on stage, the audience has this weird thing where we automatically grant that person what we call expert status. Otherwise, why would somebody have put them on stage or put them in front of a camera? So we're granted that expert status that gives us a little bit of authority and trust. We trust their message. Now, we're going to listen to that message, and our audiences are going to listen to our message to see, are we really truly an expert? The second reason it's so important for us as salespeople is it broadens the scope of your sales call. Now, you're not up there talking about your products. You're talking about your industry, your expertise in agronomy or nutrition or whatever it is, or tractors or whatever it is that you're talking on. It broadens your scope. In any given day, you can go out and call on four producers, five feed companies, grain elevators, whoever you call on. You can call on maybe four, maybe five. If you're really fast, you can call on 10. You're probably not getting a lot done. But anyway, when you speak to an audience of 200 or 300, that's how many customers you're speaking to at any given time in 1 hour. And then secondly, they're recording every meeting now in audio and video. And so this stuff lives on forever, and you can use it in your marketing. You can use it to promote your company, your products, yourself, whatever the case is. You've built trust and you've broadened your scope. So if that doesn't really get you going and want you to listen in more, here's the third and one of the most important is it's a differentiation tool. You're willing to stand up there and give your expertise, and that's what you're giving, your expertise on your subject. So there's a lot of fear around this. As a matter of fact, Fred's book, No Sweat Public Speaking, speaks to that fear that we have, that we're going to get up there and sweat and have all this struggle. So listen in as I interview Fred, and we talk about how to use speaking opportunities as business, career, and leadership opportunities. Hey, welcome to the podcast and webcast today. I'm really excited to talk about a subject that's near and dear to every salesperson's heart, and that is speaking, in order to get our message across. And today, we're joined by Fred Miller, a speaker, coach, author, who trains people how to be better speakers. And when I talk about speaking for sales today, we're talking about public speaking, one of the greatest fears that people have. And we've all heard the old saying that people would rather give the eulogy or be in the casket then give the eulogy. So let's just dispel that myth right here and now. But anyway, welcome, Fred, to the Ag Sales Professional Podcast webcast.
Greg, it's great to be here. Thank you very much.
You bet. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And you and I met here in St. Louis. You were doing some speaking conferences one evening.
My meetup. Yeah.
Yes, as your meetup. And yeah. So tell us a little bit about your history with the public speaking industry and where you've gone and what you currently do with that part of the world.
Well, thanks for asking. I've been a fan of professional speakers, I think, all my life. I used to go see Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. Some of your audience won't know those names, but they're historic in the speaking world. Tony Robbins, for one.
Sure.
And you realize how great these guys are and the audience that they command. And they made a lot of money, but they also influenced a lot of lives with the stories they were telling.
Sure.
And I joined Toastmasters. And Toastmasters, by the way, is an international organization that teaches leadership and presentation skills. I was in Toastmasters for years, and I always enjoyed it. And I think it was 2011, wrote my first book, No Sweat Public Speaking. And my mantra, which no one ever challenges is speaking opportunities are business, career, and leadership opportunities. And you can attest to that, Greg, with your own life, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I did the same kind of route. I admired speakers. I admired people who could go up in front of an audience and command that audience, however it was, whether it was trying to sell them for business or just entertainment or comedians. And I think that's it. And so I did Toastmasters, and that's where I got the basics of realizing there is a science to this. There's steps that you need to do. And so as you work, you've been working with people now for over 10 years. And what you have two catchphrases and mantras. You mentioned one, but I love the no sweat public speaking, because that really points to the fact that we sweat a lot when we think about these speaking opportunities.
Black shirts, right? Both
exactly.
Of us.
You wear a black shirt, so if you sweat, you don't get seen. So tell us about the no sweat part. How does that work? Because everybody out there that's listening right now is saying, no, I'm going to sweat if somebody says you're going to have to do a 45-minute speech next week.
Well, you have it very, very cool where you're speaking. That's
that's right.
And then you don't sweat. But it is part of it. And the biggest thing is to practice, speak. And you were correct in your introduction. It's most people's greatest fear. 75% of the population has this fear in one degree or another. In fact, there's a word for it. It's called glossophobia. It comes from the Greek. Glosso, tongue, phobos, fear. But the important thing is that it's a word, not a disease,
sure.
And it can be lessened. You really don't want to get rid of it completely. What we tell people is that you want to take that nervous energy and put it into your presentation. Have you ever sat through a boring presentation?
Oh, sure. Sat through them, and I've given a few, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I think
in Toastmasters, you mentioned Toastmasters, they say those butterflies in our stomach, we want to teach them to fly in formation.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to get rid of that nervous energy. Actually, mentioned Toastmasters, I remember a guy, he got so at ease in front of our club, he just lost his mojo. He would just get up and kind of talk like this. And, no emphasis. Yeah, you have to have that energy.
I think you mentioned one point that I really want to hone in on, and this is one that I went through Toastmasters and NSA, National Speakers Association, practicing. What people think is when they see Tony Robbins and those guys up there on stage, they think that's like they're doing impromptu speaking. Yeah. They've done this a lot. Even before they got to the very first time they did it on stage in front of an audience. You will look at, I was mentioning comedians. I love studying comedians because of their work ethic. I mean, they're kind of goofballs, but their work ethic is phenomenal in that they go around and do, little comedy clubs before they ever go on stage to Johnny Carson. Well, he's not there anymore, but to the talk show. So how do people get that practice in your opinion?
Your point's well taken. Let's relate to sports, and the Olympics are coming up soon in Beijing. Does anyone think any of those great Olympians just, let's see, I think I'll go down that hill today. That doesn't,
Right.
If you look at the amount of time that a professional athlete spends actually playing the game, take any sport.
Sure.
Take football, baseball, anything. The amount of time that they spend on the field compared to the amount of time that they spend working out and practicing, it's infinitesimal.
That's right.
I coach people for TED Talks. And our rule of thumb is 1 hour of preparation for every minute of presentation.
And that's 15
that's
minutes.
That's conservative.
That's right. And that's it's mandatory. That's not longer than 15 minutes, I believe, on a TED Talk. And so, yeah, you're talking about 15. And I think that is the moment, and today with the ease of electronics, we got cameras and we got recording devices. I can tell you myself in my little home studio, I get the keynote address at a meeting and I practice it and I get done with it. I watch the video and I think, oh my gosh, I am so glad I didn't stand up there and give that. I would have, it would have been horrible. And good or bad, whatever you do when the butterflies are flying around and trying to kill each other inside of you, without that practice, I think that's so critical. What are some of the other tips that you try to work with people on in getting them to be better speakers?
Well, let me mention practicing because you brought it up.
Sure.
And I got this from Mike Brown, who is a Toastmaster International contest winner.
Yeah.
Practice it. Take a video, iPad, computer, whatever.
Sure.
Take a video of yourself giving a presentation. The first time you go to it, turn the sound off.
Yes.
Just watch your nonverbal communication.
Yeah.
Are you doing things that would be, you know, distract from your presentation?
I have a hilarious story about that. I had this habit. I got nervous and I went like that, like a monkey, you know, on my mind. And my wife told me about it. She's like, well, I've noticed you do that for years. I said, why didn't you tell me? And so I said, I don't do that. I denied it. So I got up and I was given a presentation for a retirement party. And I got up there and about halfway through, I did that. And I was looking at my wife when I did it. And I thought, oh, I did it. Oh no. But you're right. You're so nervous, the energy, that you don't realize it. And
nonverbal communication surpasses verbal. So that's what people see. Second time you go back to that video, turn it around and just listen. Yeah. How is your enunciation and pronunciation?
Right.
How are your pauses?
Right.
Do you have inflection or are you talking like R2-D2? Third yes, time, sir. Turn around, watch the video,
yep.
Sound on and the video. You'll see and hear what the audience sees and hears.
Sure.
Fourth time, do it with a trusted advisor or a coach.
Right.
Because we all have blind spots. I was working with the president of big division of Verizon once, and we're watching his videos. He goes, I thought I was more animated than that. I
don't Well, it's amazing. He says,
hey, how about that pause?
Yeah.
Says, how about that pause? That was pretty good. And I said, yeah. But that's a great way to do it and do it by yourself in front of, you know, other people. You don't have to. You don't have that nervousness. And you can continue to make it better.
So let's jump in.
So speak, practice. That's my silver nugget for becoming a better speaker. Speak. That's the gold nugget.
Get out there.
If you want to be a swimmer, swim. If you want to be a baker, bake. If you want to be a speaker, speak.
There's no experience like the live audience when you're standing up there and you're doing what you're doing. That's absolutely right.
Learning is in the doing.
So let's talk a little bit about why you might want to do this. So our audience is out there. Well, I'm not going to be Tony Robbins. I'm not going to be Brian Tracy. I don't want to make, you know, sales tapes and motivational, and I'm not going to be doing chants and that up on stage. Why do I need to be a public speaker? I'm a sales manager. I got 5 people that report to me. I hold weekly meetings. Maybe once in a while I get asked to do a presentation, but I turn it down and I escape and don't have to do it. So why should people do that?
You're perceived as an expert.
That's right.
People like to work with experts. If you're a speaker, and we already said 75% of the population has a fear of public speaking, they're not going to volunteer to do this.
Sure.
You stand out from the crowd.
Yeah.
We like to work with experts. Experts command more money for their products and services. Now, hand in glove with that, and you and I have talked about this, write a book.
Yeah.
And if you haven't written a book, you always want to write your own introduction.
That's right.
If you don't write your own introduction, they're going to grab something off the internet. And quite frankly, nobody cares where you went to school, the fact that you collect rocks, and that you have 3 kids and a dog.
That's right.
And that's what they're going to find.
And we're going to read yours here in a second, because that's another key piece of information, a key thing for people to do that's a little bit unique. And they think that what you just said is what they want. They think that's the introduction. I wrote my first one and it was, you know, I grew up and, you know, I was born back here and I went there. I mean, it's like a little bibliography of what I did, and nobody cares, because everybody does that. So again, I think your point being, though, you differentiate yourself as a speaker simply by the fact that you're willing to stand up there. And then whatever happens, we anoint speakers with expertise. Well, they must have been important and smart enough to be on stage, whether that's at a trade show and, hey, we just had to fill the hours with speakers. So let's get some people from our sponsors and that and get them to stand up there. But
here's why the introduction is so important. Because it gives that expertise. It gives you credibility to be the speaker, because your audience is investing time, sometimes money, their own or someone else's, and definitely opportunity costs. Opportunity costs is, I could be doing something else right now. Why is Greg up there speaking? What gives him the right to do it?
Sure.
So you write your introduction and should answer 3 questions. Why this subject? Why this speaker? And why now? It should be like the king's trumpeters announcing that the king is coming. And people should be sitting there thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to hear Greg. He must be the greatest. What a holy mackerel, quit talking. I want to hear him.
Sure. Because you've answered several key questions about why they should spend time there. Not about your resume of PhDs and MBAs and all that, which is great if you have those. But I'd like to read yours. And then I'd like to come back and have you talk about the reasons you have certain things in there. So I'm going to read yours. Okay. It's a little bit, you know it. You read it. You wrote it. Read it. You wrote it.
Wrote it many times. You've got version.
So, okay, here it goes.
5.7.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest speaker today. Many people find climbing the career ladder or succeeding in one's own business usually means doing some speaking in front of groups. It's a credibility builder. However, because of the fear of public speaking, it's an activity many dread. It consistently ranks as one of the most common fears people share and holds many back from reaching their potential. His books, No Sweat Public Speaking and No Sweat Elevator Speech, are purchased internationally and have rave reviews on Amazon.com. He is a local TEDx talk coach and has been interviewed by local, national, and international media. And his podcast channel is one of the top 25 public speaking podcasts on the web. If you have this fear or just want to be a better presenter, our speaker has a message for you. I did a little research and discovered our guest speaker had been in the coffee service business for many years. Since he used to sell coffee, I asked him to perk up our meeting and not let it become a grind. I've been told he espressos himself well and would never be considered a drip. I don't want to spill the beans on his talk. I'm curious, as I'm sure you are, to see what he's brewed up for us. The title of his talk is No Sweat Public Speaking. Please help me welcome Fred Miller. Now, that's okay, a lot of fun.
So you would say that, and I would get up and say, Greg, that was a great introduction. Thanks, a latte.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, get more groans. Yeah, but that's important because that's humorous.
Sure.
You know, some of the people in the audience didn't want to be there. They're going to say, hey, that's kind of funny.
It's exactly right.
Puts me at ease. So having that self-effacing humor there, and I've worked on this ad nauseum, this introduction. So it's huge. Yeah.
So key parts of that, you know, that we talked about, the key parts are why people are there to hear what you're going to talk about. The important underlying message.
Subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why this subject's first thing? Well, public speaking. A lot of people have a fear of it. We perceive speakers as experts. We like to work with experts. Why this speaker? And that was, you know, talking about books I've written, interviews I've done.
Sure.
Top 25 in podcasts. But here's the reason to have someone else read that. If I would get there and say, you know, I've been on this TV station and this guy.
Sure. Here,
well, they're thinking, I want to hear this guy brag.
Right.
But you saying that, Greg, that makes, you know, you're a third party. Now, here's the other reason why it's important to write that introduction. It's a speaking opportunity for the MC. Yeah. The guy may not even want that job.
Right.
If you write it well, and all of a sudden, you know, you're doing stand-up. I've made you a hero, Greg.
Absolutely. And the thing that I like what you did, and I've adopted this style also, is it's in really big font. So I've seen people get introduced and the font is 12, you know, and it's in some kind of funky, you know, sans serif cursive, and the person's like, can't read it. And they just put it down and they say, he's a great guy. Welcome him to the stage. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. And here's the thing. You always want to get to the person who's going to introduce you far in advance, because if they wind up writing an introduction for you, all of a sudden you come up with this and they've invested time and effort into doing that. That's not a good thing.
Absolutely. I'll bring my own and you don't need to do one. I'll have it there for the speaker.
Or get it for them in advance so they can do a little practice with it.
Absolutely.
But always bring a copy because they may have trashed it, forgotten it, whatever.
Yeah.
And one thing in particular I want to mention is that you mentioned my books. If you don't have a book, here's what you do. And the title of Greg's upcoming book is Let Me Tell You a Story, because it's all about stories. True story. I'm speaking to this big chamber, huge chamber. And the guy's reading my introduction and he goes, and the title of his upcoming book is, and I had not written the book yet, but I made it public. And when you make it public, be prepared. Everyone's going to say, when's the book signing, Greg?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But he goes, and the title of his upcoming book is, you have a book coming out? I said, I do. He goes, holy, that's amazing.
Yeah.
The perception of speakers and writers is phenomenal. Now, you gave him a title, but you could change the title. You didn't tell him what's coming out. You didn't tell him how many pages.
Sure.
And now when you've written the first one and people say, what's the title of the second one, Greg? You say, oh, I would love to tell you, but my attorney and my publisher had me sign all those non-disclosures.
Yeah. Sure.
Visit me in jail if I said anything.
That's right. So let's jump to the second reason that people want to become speaking or use speaking in their business. You said it's a credibility builder. You have a mantra. Tell us your mantra again. It is speaking opportunities.
Speaking opportunities are business, career, and leadership opportunities. A lot of the individual coaching I do, Greg, it started with a phone call. Somebody will say, I'm sick and tired of people who don't contribute as much to the company as I do. They're not working as hard as I do, but they're getting recognition, bonuses. Sometimes they're getting promoted because they're speaking and they're not very good, but they're doing it.
Right.
And I'm not. Can you help me?
And are you talking about speaking in meetings? Or are you talking about speaking in front of, you know, hey,
both
the annual sales meeting or what kind of speaking?
Anything. Okay. Anytime you serving on a panel, anytime you have an opportunity to speak, it's a speaking opportunity. And I think with that mindset, I know, well, my first night at Toastmasters, one of the members said to me, even if you never speak in front of a group, the ability to do so will help you one-on-one.
Sure.
And the next day, true story, I was in the coffee business. I'm in Anheuser-Busch. I've got three ladies I'm talking to about my service. And I just felt I'm making a better connection. You know, I'm just connecting better because I'm looking upon this as a speaking opportunity. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Oh, whether the small, small group discussions or large group discussions, the dynamics change a little bit, but the concept of how your message of what you're trying to tell them and get them interested in your product, services, or what you are is very similar. And the use of stories. That's probably one of the biggest.
It's all about stories. Yes.
I mean, absolutely. Stories become, and this is one that people think, when they hear a really good speaker and the speaker tells a story, they think, oh, they're just kind of up there telling a story. They don't realize how much work went into the thought process behind the key points and cutting and pasting from that story so that it fits the need of that audience. And so obviously you develop stories with your speakers. So talk a little bit about stories.
You want to make it a personal story. Nancy Duarte, she's a guru in our business. She did the slides for Al Gore in Inconvenient Truth. And she says, personal stories are the emotional glue that connect your audience to your message.
Sure.
And you want to tell your stories. You know, too many times that we hear about honesty, somebody's going to talk about George Washington cutting down the cherry tree, or they're going to talk, or persistence. They'll tell the story of Thomas Edison. It took them 10,000 trees. Right. Well, I tell you a story. I tell that story. I'm talking about persistence, and I tell the Thomas Edison story.
Sure.
And I said, has anyone ever heard that before? Now, if I don't raise my hand, a lot of people, I just see the twinkle in their eye, and I'm not going to embarrass Fred. But if I say, who's heard that story before? And if it's a sales group like you talked to, everyone's hand goes up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. They're going to. Yeah.
That's the problem with that story.
Absolutely.
Everyone's heard it.
Yeah.
So tell your own story because everyone has those stories of going upstream when people are coming down, overcoming obstacles. The key, Greg, is to be in the moment. And when those stories occur real time, capture them and put them in the hard drive of your brain. So when you need a story, personal story, to reinforce the point you're making, you've got that story.
Absolutely. And learn how to tell a good story. So one of the things is selling using stories is, and Zig Ziglar used to call it similar situation selling. And it's the, it's the Hollywood, it's the old hero's journey. And I always, when I talk to sales audience, I say, have you guys ever heard of the hero's journey from Hollywood and back in the ancient Greek times? They all look like, what are you talking about? Why are we learning this? I said, well, Zig Ziglar used to, then it kind of brings it home to selling, which is people want to know, what does somebody like me do in my situation? And yeah. I don't want to, you know, Greg, you're trying to sell me a product. I'm not going to believe you, but I am going to believe, hey, this guy had the same farm, same type of farming operation. Here's what he used. And here's how the success happened. So it's similar situation selling. It's absolutely critical. It's basically a testimonial for your product or your service, but yeah. you're using a true story to go with that. So,
sure. Or the people who didn't buy your product and services and how all those crops.
Well, that's broke. That's right. Absolutely.
For sale sign on the property next time you went by.
Exactly. They would have used my product. So it's any other final tips that you want to share with people that might be still a little bit on the fence saying, you know, I just don't know if I really want to do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do when I get up there. Any other final words of wisdom you might bestow?
Well, yeah, buy my book. No Sweat Public.
Absolutely.
In all seriousness, have them email me. I've got a speaker's template. That's a great place to start. Yeah. Because you got to know where to start. Email me, fred@nosweatpublicspeaking.com. Yep. I have an interactive speaker's template. Sure. And you start working. There's a formula for giving a presentation, just like there's a formula for making a great cake. There are specific ingredients in specific amounts. You add at specific times, do specific things to them, and you get a great presentation.
Well, let's end with a great story. And if you had to go back over the course of your training and speaking, tell us an example or a story that you of somebody that you worked with that you're like, you know, this is the hallmark of what I'm most proud of. I hope they put this on my tombstone. You know, this is what I did for this particular person. Well, that's a little too far. Let's not put it on tombstone.
Oh no, but wait. No, I know what you're saying. And I think it's more than money. It's people who saying that coach made a difference. I wouldn't have got that promotion otherwise. Yeah. I wouldn't have asked for that raise otherwise.
Sure.
I mean, that's worth more than money because it's the greatest fear. But that's why people need coaches because we're all too close to ourselves. Like, I don't look so good here. My voice sounds kind of bad. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm standing tall. But a good coach is that sounding board. A good coach will also listen and ask questions so you hear yourself. And the best of the best have coaches. Think of all the great athletes. Again, let's make that analogy to sports. The best of the best have coaches. I don't care how good you are.
That's right.
Same thing with actors. Same thing with comedians.
Absolutely.
Everyone who's successful has a coach, and the best speakers do too. And the best investment you can make is in yourself.
Absolutely. And I think you're obviously a great one. So we're going to give people an opportunity. If they want to work with you, what are the places you mentioned a channel? I watch your videos on LinkedIn. That's where business to business. Yeah. That's where all I hang out most of my social media time. So I watch you there, but I didn't realize you had a YouTube channel or a YouTube.
I got a YouTube channel or I blog on a fairly regular basis, but I've been doing it for so long since 2011. I've got tons of articles and videos and audios on my site. Go there. There's some other free stuff you can download. But the biggest thing is to just, you know, find that speaking opportunity, grab it, then prepare, practice, and deliver that presentation using all the components, parts, and elements of No Sweat Public Speaking.
That's great. that's a great way to end today, Fred. Thank you very much for being on the show and the podcast today. Appreciate everything.
Thanks for having me, Greg. It was no sweat.
Thanks. I hope today's podcast helped you on your journey to be the best ag sales professional possible. Now, you can always access more blog articles, podcasts, and training opportunities, both virtual and in person, on my website at www.gregmartinelli.net. Thank you and have a great day.